All who believe and are baptized shall see the Lord's salvation. Baptized into the death of Christ, they are a new creation. Through Christ's redemption they shall stand among the glorious heavenly band of every tribe and nation. Tonight I want you to listen for that familiar voice of your good shepherd as he continues to cry out to the lambs who have been enfolded into his family, "I love you. You are my son, you are my daughter, the one that I love so much. With you, I am well pleased." Tonight, we celebrate not only the baptism of our Lord, but also our union with Christ. St. Paul in Romans 6 says that in baptism, we've been buried alive. No longer captive to sin, but now free to serve as beloved, holy children of God. Buried with him in a death like his, Good Friday, so that we might be united with him in a resurrection like his, Easter morning. And so even though it's the season of Epiphany, when God is manifesting his glory and showing the light of the world, Jesus Christ, the light that shines in the darkness and no darkness can overcome it, even though it's the season of Epiphany, tonight, as we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, we have experienced Good Friday and Easter Sunday in and through the death and resurrection of Merrick. Now we know that little Merrick is treasured and beloved by aunts and uncles and godparents, by mom and dad. I know how much Amber and Joe treasure, adore, and love their son. He's a gift of God. And they don't take that gift for granted. And we cherish and love Joe and Amber and Merrick. And we don't take that gift for granted. But I'm here tonight to remind you of a voice that speaks a promise. And the voice of God the Father speaking through the voice of God the Holy Spirit through the Son of God, Jesus Christ, says, "I love you even more." The love of God for you is to the grave, to the death and resurrection. So as much as mom and dad love Merrick, they will raise him to know that there's another voice besides moms and dads, besides grandmas and grandpas. And that voice is the voice of Jesus crying out every day, "Merrick, you are mine, and Merrick, I love you, and it is my joy and delight to be your shepherd. And for you to be one of my lambs." That's the voice of recognition that we want to hear and celebrate tonight. Famous last words? You doubt whether or not somebody's actually going to keep their promise? Yeah, I've heard that before. "I'll believe it when I see it." Famous last words, huh? But a lot of times those famous last words can in fact be famous and fruitful first words. Like when Jesus says, the Great Commission, before he ascends into heaven, "Go and make disciples of all people everywhere. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey, to keep all that I've commanded you. And I am with you always." Always. Not most of the time or some of the time, but always, Emmanuel, to the close of the age. Famous last words that empower and give life to first words, like sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever, like named and anointed, each one of us chosen by God, the one who created us and who in Christ Jesus makes us members of the new creation. In the beginning, God. You want to talk about a famous first word? How about the very first words our first lesson for tonight. The first chapter of Genesis, which means beginning. In the beginning, God. And you heard what Ava said. God spoke. And the speech, the voice, the word made things happen. From nothing, there was something. God took chaos and disorder and ordered that into a beautiful gift of creation. And then God separated the darkness from the light. And then God gave a name to the darkness and a name to the light. God called the darkness night, and God called the light day. And there was evening and morning, day one. Famous first words. You see, it's a doxology, it's a liturgy, it's a service of worship. That's what Genesis 1 is. It's like Psalm 29, ascribe to the Lord glory. I don't know if you heard the psalm as you were reading it, but the Lord, all in capital letters, that's God's revealed name to Moses in the burning bush. Four times in the opening two verses, four times in the closing two verses, and then in the verses that are sandwiched in between, 10 times. Those are holy numbers in the Bible. 4, 10, 4. And then in that meat part of the sandwich, the voice, the voice, the voice, the voice, the voice, the voice, the voice. How many times? 7. Which is a perfect number for the Jewish people and in the scriptures. You see, God's voice is always speaking. Luther, in the Small Catechism, realized that the creation account is not an explanation of science. It's not worried about how things happened. It's a doxology. It's a confession of faith. It's reminding people that everything that exists is grounded in God. Even scientists are starting to realize that it takes more faith to disbelieve the existence of a creator than to believe the existence of a creator. Luther in the Small Catechism writes, I believe that God has created me and all that exists. He has given and still preserves my body and soul with all their powers. He provides me with food and clothing, home and family, daily work, and all I need from day to day. God also protects me in time of danger and guards me from every evil. All this he does out of fatherly and divine goodness and mercy, though I do not deserve it. Therefore, I surely ought to thank, praise, serve, and obey. This is most certainly true. Ascribe to the Lord glory. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Or, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. You see, when we hear that voice of God that wants us to know that in Christ Jesus, he is now pleased with us. That in Christ Jesus, we are now sons and daughters, members of the body of Christ, beloved children of the Heavenly Father. A voice that the world and sin and death and the evil one want to drown out or eliminate. And so God's people are called every day to get the megaphone out and to make sure that the world continues to hear the non-negotiable, inescapable word. Because when God speaks, things happen. God's word never returns void. Famous first words? We didn't read the opening couple of verses from St. Mark's Gospel, but you remember them from the season of Advent. It is a proclamation, a declaration. Mark chapter 1, verse 1 is like the title page of an essay or of a book. The beginning, Genesis, of the gospel, good news, of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Exclamation point. From the very beginning, Mark tips his hand. From the very beginning, Mark lets the cat out of the bag. From the very beginning, we are let in on the secret that some people still don't know. Jesus is Messiah, Savior of the world. Jesus is Son of God. And we already know that from the title page. Now, here's something else worth knowing. The word gospel is not only a literary genre, a type of literature, but it's a military term that literally means victory announced beforehand. Victory announced beforehand. You see what Mark is saying? Even before Merrick grows up and completes his earthly journey, God has already, as a famous first word said, you need to understand, Merrick, what your mom and dad know and what the people of God know as sheep within the fold of the Good Shepherd Jesus. This is a good news story. This is a gospel. This is a story where we already know who Jesus is and we already know that the victory is ours. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith, given to us in Christ Jesus. Now, John the Baptist was in the wilderness baptizing. Strange garments, strange eating habits. But he was there because he had a word, a voice that had spoken and commanded him to get out there and prepare the way of the mightier one. Did you hear the word all? All the people in Judea, all the people. We call that hyperbole. I mean, it almost sounds like exaggeration, right? It's like when your spouse says to you, you always, oh, wait a minute, I'm not perfect. 99% of the time, yeah, but not always, but all the people are coming out to be baptized in the River Jordan, which was the gateway, the doorway, the entrance into the promised land. And they were, Mark says, confessing their sins. And we'll teach Merrick to do that too. As he grows in years, we're going to place the scriptures into his hands. We'll teach him the confession of faith, but we'll also teach him about confession and forgiveness. That it's okay to say, I'm sorry. I did wrong. And for him to hear the voice from mom and dad, we make mistakes. We love you. We forgive you. So that he learns to hear that voice of God and practices forgiveness in daily life as well. St. Mark says that John was out there baptizing, and in those days, Jesus from Nazareth came and was baptized by John in the Jordan. He takes his stand and his place with us. The one who is without sin stands with sinners, determined to save us, to redeem us, to claim and name us, and to hold on to us forever. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says to John, "Let it be. Thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." This brings glory. Ascribe to the Lord glory, glory, hallelujah. This brings glory to the Father, Jesus says. And as Jesus was baptized, as he was coming up out of the water, the Holy Spirit was coming down. And the heavens were opened. No. You know how to open something carefully, gently. The heavens were not opened. The heavens, Mark says, the word in Greek is gizo. The heavens were ripped apart. Ripped apart. No barriers anymore between God and God's people in Christ Jesus. The barrier is gone. Sin is defeated. Death is defeated. We have the victory announced already beforehand. This is a gospel. This is a good news story. The word schizo is found only twice in the Gospel of Mark. At the beginning when Jesus is baptized, and at the end when he is crucified on the cross. When Jesus is crucified on the cross, the temple curtain that separated God's people from the Holy of Holies, the presence of the Lord, was 4 to 6 inches of thick fabric. And when Jesus died on the cross, that temple curtain was ripped apart from top to bottom. The barrier has been removed. And we already knew it was going to happen when Jesus was baptized. The Father uses the voice of the Holy Spirit to speak to the Son. You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased. Famous first words from the voice of Almighty God, the one who creates us, redeems us, and makes us holy so that we can live in his presence for all eternity. Now, some people would say, baptism just isn't that important. Michael Rognes was a professor of homiletics when I was at the seminary some 30-plus years ago. And Michael Rognes was in a congregation up by Duluth, Minnesota. And he talks about a man in the congregation that came to faith. And he came to Pastor Michael Rognes and he said, I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I don't need to be baptized. Baptism doesn't save. And Pastor Michael Rognes looked at him and said, it's faith that saves. However, to have faith in Jesus is to follow him. And where does Jesus go? Into the water. It's the first thing he does. It begins his public ministry. That's why Mary has a servant towel, so that he can walk in the footsteps of Jesus and serve others. He can let his light shine to the praise and glory of God. If you have faith, Michael Rognes said, then to follow Jesus is to listen to him. Huh? And what does he say? It's called the Great Commission. Go therefore, make disciples of all people everywhere, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded. And remember, don't forget, I'm with you, Emmanuel, always, to the close of the age. St. Paul says that baptism is our being buried alive. And interestingly enough, when you get to the end of Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 8, that's the original ending. The women go to the tomb, they hear the announcement that Christ has been raised, and they go away and they say nothing to anyone. They're afraid, for... Isn't that a great way to end the gospel with a preposition? For? Yeah? Yeah. Yeah. You're the rest of the story, the gospel story, the victory announced beforehand. People were so uncomfortable with that ending that they added 2 or 3 others. And interestingly enough, in one of the endings, they bracketed it back to the beginning, where the words of Jesus were similar to the Great Commission. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe is condemned already. Jesus' words to Nicodemus, unless you're born again of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Famous first words like, on your mark, get set, go, I hope. I mean, Jesus is counting on you, disciples of Jesus Christ, on your mark, get set, go, right? Yeah, to make a disciple, you got to be one. Tony Campolo is now an emeritus professor of Eastern College out in Pennsylvania in sociology. Tony Campolo was baptized at the age of 9, and there were 2 other boys baptized at the age of 9 also. The year was 1944. And years later, Tony Campolo thought, I want to check the archives of the congregation. And here's what he found out. Because congregations do annual reports, and they kind of talk about, well, what's this year been about or been like? So in the annual report, Tony Campolo reads about this congregation that he's baptized in, that there were 3 boys at the age of 9, all baptized. And then the annual report says, the pastor has written, this has not been a good year. 27 people left the congregation. We're going to sell the property, and we're going to disband as a church. And we only had 3 new members, and they were all children. Tony Campolo said, I was one of those 3 children that God used to teach the faith. And the other 2 boys that were baptized, one became a missionary in Africa, and the other one continues to teach theology at an African seminary. Never forget that the one who speaks can accomplish far more than we can begin to ask or imagine. And this one speaks again tonight. The voice of God. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sin. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Famous first words that give life and a new creation. Amen.